Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shemir Salashon class learning. We'll begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please. It's the WhatsApp icon of this group. So if you ever wonder where it is, good morning. If you go to the WhatsApp Shemir Salashon class group, it's the WhatsApp icon. Yiribana she'olam yiratzim ufanecha al rachim v'chanan she'tezakeni hayam v'chol yam lishmer piyu lishanim v'ashen har v'chilis v'ezarim le'adabra fila lish yachid v'kol she'ken ha'kla yisrael o'al chilek mehem v'kol she'ken m'yisrael ma'midosib shal kodesh baruch hu v'ezarim le'adabra d'vrei sheker chanuf ha'mechokes ka'as gai v'onas dvarim Abanas panim beitzanus v'chol dibur aser v'zakeni shalo daber kim daver ha'tzarich li'nani gufi v'nafshi v'yukal ma'asai v'diburai l'shem Shemayim, Amen. So we were learning Zeichr Nishmasu, Le'ilui Nishmasu, Tzvi Gershon, Menyo V'chana, Alav Hashem, Meiz Hashem, Eva continuously in this chus of the Torah that we will share, as well as this chus of the Neshama for Zev Vov Ben Yeshaya, Alav Hashem, His neshama having ali in this chus of the Torah we will share, and also with your permission, a chus refuah for bracha avigaya basracha gita, b'soch she'archa le'Yisrael. So we are actually going back to the Sefer. After taking a few months hiatus, we only meet every other week, and then there were some weeks Yamim Tovim, etc. We didn't learn for a whole month, so we spent a lot of time in Maseches Arachin, in the Dapim of Gemara, to deal with the sins of Shemiras Halashon. We spoke extensively, we learned extensively and in-depth in bringing other sources, those pieces of Gemara that deal with Inyanei Shemiras Halashon. So we're actually going back to the Sefer. For those who joined us later and don't even know what I'm talking about, this year is really based on Sefer Kuntres Chovas HaShmira, the obligation of guarding your tongue by the Chavetz Chaim. Before, however, I do get to the Sefer, I want to share two Vartlech into Parshas Noach, and then Be'ezor Hashem, we are going back into the Sefer, okay? We're starting a new parak today, actually, I believe it's parak Yadalad. So I want to share an insight with you that I never learned or heard of in my life till last week when I was preparing for a different shiurim, and when I came across this insight in the Sefer, I was so excited, and I put a sticky in the book, and on the other side of the sticky it says Shemiras Halashon, which I know you can't see. It's been sitting on my desk for a full week, waiting for this class so I could share this with you. Maybe some of you are familiar with this. I never heard this before I read it. So I'm first going to read you the pasuk, okay? And after we do the pasuk, I'm going to tell you the insight. There are many lessons to be learned, of course. Many, many lessons to be learned from Parshas Noach. Too many to count, like every parasha in the Torah. And some of the material in the Torah, pesukim, I should say, information, seems more exciting and relevant than other information in the narrative of Noach. So this is an insight into a pasuk that seems like pretty dry. It doesn't seem to contain any relevance, because of course every word of Torah contains relevance to us. So Hashem comes to Noach. Hashem sees the world is filled with chamas lefanai. Because of thievery, they are going to be obliterated. Like my son said at the Shabbos table, they stole grapes from Costco. So I said, that's very, very good, because that's exactly what the Medrash says. They didn't steal on a grand scale. They didn't go into the bank with a mask and a gun and said, you know, give me $10 million. One person took one date from the bushel in the fair, and another person took one date, and everyone said, what's the big deal? It's only one grape from the container in Costco. Well, if everybody walks into Costco and takes one grape from the container, then there's not going to be any grapes left to be sold. This was how they stole. And my son said a beautiful Dvar Torah, which I said, that's so nice. He's like, I knew that. I heard that every year in elementary school, he said. The boys are in 10th grade now. He said something so nice. So how did they steal? Like in my son's words, they stole grapes from Costco. In other words, not a whole container. One! And then the next person stole one, and 500 people walk into Costco every day. So by the end of the day, there were no grapes left to be sold. So they would go into the market, one olive, one date from the person's bushel, and she would have nothing left to sell. So my son said, and he said he learned this throughout elementary school, so maybe you're familiar with this, but that's why when the rain came, it was mida kenegan mida. Rashi tells us when the flood started, it was just raindrops. It wasn't a marble. It was one drop, and then it was one more drop, and it was just one drop. Hashem said, it's not a big deal, it's just one drop. To show you the impact of all those actions we think aren't a big deal. One drop, one more drop, that's all it was. Hashem says, what's the big deal? You took one grape, one date, one fig, what's the big deal? Hashem says, I'll send one drop, and then one more drop. Before you know it, the world was inundated and flooded with water. So I think that this relates very much to Shemiras Halashon. it's a very powerful insight. My son said it shows you the power of what we think are not a big deal. It's not such a big deal. It's a very big deal. All those not big deals add up to a whole container of grapes, a whole bushel of dates. All those one drops of rain add up to a deluge. But I think that it also relates very strongly to Shmir Salash. It's just one word. One mockery, Leitzanos. One ka'as, one word of anger. What's the big deal? Most of the time I'm a nice guy. It was one word, one statement, 1 5-minute expression of wrath. It was one thing. It was one thing. So Hashem said, I'm going to show you. You think it's not a big deal? One drop and one drop and one drop. And soon everything was washed away. So actually I'm saying three insights into Parshas Noach that relate to Shmir Salashan. That was number one. And my son told that over in the Shabbos table. I think it clearly relates to V'chol Dibra Asar. V'zakirin Shlo L'daber Kim Davar HaTzarech L'Nanei Gufi V'Nafshi. All those one words of forbidden speech add up to a flood. Rachman Latzlan, a forbidden speech. Going back to the Teva, the insight that I was planning to start with. So Hashem said the world is filled with Hamas. Okay? The Hamas is the Gaza, like my son said, they stole grapes from Costco. And now Hashem commands Noach to make a teva. Aseidecha tevas atse gofer kinim taas as a teva. It's perikval pasuk gedala in the chamish. V'chafar ta'osu mibayisu michutz b'kol. First, Hashem tells him the materials to use and the tar and the pitch, the inside and the outside. Unlike Moshe's teva, this had to be lying the inside and outside. So Rashi has to be very strong. Moshe's floating down the calm Nile River. Noach's in a big, huge flood. And how should you make the teva? What are the dimensions that you should build? Shalosh me'os ama orecha teva, 300 cubits the length of the teva. Chamishim ama rochba, 50 cubits its width. Ushloshim ama komoso, and 30 cubits its height. So her tasa la teva, you should make either a window, a chalon, or aventova hem, says Rashi, the el ama techalana, and one ama you should finish on top. So the dimensions of the teva were 300 in length, 50 in width, 30 in height, and one ama on top. So I'm quoting from the Sefer, short and sweet on the Parsha, by Feldheim. It's Feldheim publication, short and sweet on the Parsha. The author is a Rabbi Bregman. And he writes something that I never saw before. The length of the ark was 300 amot. The width was 50 amos, and the height was 30. What is the significance of these particular numbers? In Gematria, okay, 300 in length, 300 is shin, 50 in width, 50 is nun, 30 in height, did I say that right? Yeah. 30 in height, 30 is lamed. Together, therefore, 30, 50, 300, shin, 50, nun, 30, lamed. These three letters spell, it's very obvious, lamed, shin, nun, lashon. Lashon is tongue, or a representative of our speech. This hints to the idea, says, Rabbi Bregman, that Hashem wanted Noach to instill feelings of teshuva into the people of his generation, primarily through the correct use of his own power of speech. So I thought it was incredible. The gematria of the dimensions of the teva spell lashon. So here you have in a parsha that doesn't seem to have anything to do with Shmir Salashon, a lesson in Shmir Salashon. Additionally, last night, Alyssa Axelrod sent me, mamish, a video of Rav Elimelech Biderman. I don't know if it was Alyssa, was it from this year? Yeah, so sometimes people will send me memes, videos, sometimes, no offense if you've said, sometimes they're not worth looking at. Alyssa said, this relates to Shmir Salashon class. So I said, oh, I'm going to watch it, of course. So I watched it, I could not believe it. It was Rav Elimelech Biderman telling over this var. 30, 50, 300, the gematria of Lashon. Why was I so astonished? Because I never heard it before, last week when I read in the Sefer. And here Rav Elimelech Biderman, I'm hearing it two times in 1 week for the first time in my life. So it's a big haskama from Hashem that we should be sharing this in class. So Rav Biderman had a different take. So Rabbi Bregman in this Sefer writes, this hints at the idea that Hashem wanted Noach to instill feelings of teshuva using his koch adibra. We know that Rashi tells us to 6:14, 6:18, 6:14, Rashi tells us to 6:14, you should spend 100 years, 120 years building the teva. And why does Hashem bother Noach? Hashem could just make a teva fall from Shemaim, or Hashem could save Noach a different way. So Rashi specifically says, when people of the generation would see him busy with the ark for 120 years, they would ask him, what are you doing? V'hu omer lahem, he would say, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahavi man b'la'olam ula yeshuva. So this, Rabbi Bregman's insight is based on this Rashi. Noach would say, well, in the future, Hashem, blessed be he, is going to bring a mabul to the world, and perhaps they would do teshuva. So through his lashon, he was supposed to instill in the people the koach of teshuva. Whether it worked or didn't work is a different story, but the gematria of the dimensions of the teva are lashon. But Rav Elimelech Biderman, because I did watch the video, was amazing. That it was just amazing to me to see what he was talking about after I just learned this last week, and I'm waiting a whole week to teach it to you. And here, Rav Biderman, which I watched last night, says the same var, but he gives a different lesson. He says the dimensions of the teva, 30 in height, 50 in width, 300 in length, saved Noach and his family, to teach you that your lashon, your tongue, your speech, your words can save you from destruction and despair. Just like a teva, who has dimensions in gematria, spell lashon, save Noach and his family, so too when we use our words positively, it can save us and of course those around us. So that was Rav Biderman's interpretation. I'm going to add on that there is still one amma. Okay, so the Sefer doesn't bring this down, and Rav Meilech Biderman didn't discuss it as well, but there is an additional Amma, like the next Pasuk says, Ve'el Amma Techalena, you should make it for the ark, and a cubit, you should finish it from above. So the space of the window was one Amma. So what does one represent to my mind, and I'm sure to your mind as well? One represents Echad is Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem Echad. There is no other one. There is no other one, there is no other one. Okay, pun intended. Echad miyodea, echad ani yodea, echad alokeinu shebashamayim uva'aretz. There is no other echad. So I think if we finish on top, if the top of the entrance to our homes and our very selves is the idea of Shemai Yisrael, Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem Echad, if we have that Amma, Kaviyacha, the Ribbono Shel Olam above us, the Echad, then our Lashon will always be appropriate. 30 height, 50 width, 300 in length, our Lashon will always be appropriate, and we will be able to save ourselves through our Lashon, and furthermore, like the Sefer Yisroel in the Parsha, then we will be able to inspire others as well. So I think the Aleph of the Amma could be added in here, because Aleph is Echad, our Amma Techalena, so above the top is Hashem, knowing that Hashem Echad is always there, inspires us that our Lashon should be appropriate and a tongue of salvation. But the Sefer adds in something that Rav Meilech did not say, which is a geshmak of Vard, and I was surprised because Rav Meilech quotes the Pasuk, but he doesn't say the insight. If you go back and watch the video again, Rav Meilech Biderman quotes this Pasuk, but he doesn't add what the Sefer adds. Rav Bregman writes so brilliantly, this idea is alluded to in Mishlei, Parak Yud Ches, Pasuk of Aleph. The Pasuk says, Maves v'chayim b'yad lashon. So Rav Meilech Biderman did quote this Pasuk, but he didn't finish with this insight. Maves begins with a mem, V'chayim begins with a vav, biyad begins with a beis, and lashon begins with a lamed. The roshei tevos of mavis v'chayim biyad lashon spell the word mabul. It's not my own part at all. I'm mamish quoting from this Feldheim Sefer. It is fascinating to note, says Rabbi Bregman, that the first letters of each of these words are mem, vav, beis, lamed, which can be arranged to spell mabul. It was primarily through the power of speech that Noach was charged to inspire his generation to teshuva, lashon, dimensions of the teva, and lead them from the path of oblivion back to the spiritual life. However, in this case, the people did not repent, whether it was Noach's failing or not. That's a whole different drasha. There's two sides of the story. That's not the point. So mabul comes from mavus v'chayim b'yad lashon. And if we do not, Rachmana Litzlan, use our words appropriately, then we, mavas, death comes at the hand of the tongue, just like the mabul came and destroyed all life forms upon the earth. So I thought that was just incredible. So the first insight was, my son's Vartorah, what is Tvatimalei Ha'aretz Chamas? You need Mashchisim Es Ha'aretz. What is the problem? Gazel, but they didn't steal on a large scale. Like my son said, they stole a grape from Costco. So Hashem said, you think it's not a big deal to steal one grape? Okay, no problem. If everyone comes and steals one grape, so there's none left. So I'm going to bring one raindrop. Not really raining, it's one raindrop. In fact, there was so little rain, Noach didn't even have to go into the table right away. He went in Mipnei Me'amaba, and then another drop. Another drop. It's nothing. It's not a big deal. It's just one word of kas. It's just one word of leitzanus. It's just one word of rechilus. It's not such a big deal. It's one word of gaiva. think it's not such a big deal, leads to Mava. Insight number one. Insight number two, the dimensions of the Teva, 30 by 50 by 300 by 1. Quoting Rav Bregman's interpretation and Rav Biederman's interpretation, finishing off with Mavis V'chaim Ba'al Lashon Aroshi Tevas for Mabo. And then one more insight in Parshas Noach, and then we are going into the Sefer. So this is an insight that I heard last year when I saw it again when I was learning through the Parsha. But I don't remember who said it, but it's definitely not my own insight. I'm thinking that maybe it was from Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, but I'm not 100% sure, so don't quote that in case it's incorrect, and I don't want to attribute anything incorrect to him. I don't remember exactly where I heard it. Okay, but I definitely, when I came to the Pasuk, I remembered the insight. So the Pasuk is Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin, again in Parashas Noach. Okay. Vayihi ha-mabo arba'im yom al ha'aretz, and the mabo was, even though they were in the Teva for a year, actually until the waters receded, 40 days, and the mabo was 40 days upon the earth. Vayirbu ha-mayim, there was so much water from the root word rove. Vayirbu ha-mayim, there was just so much water. Vayisu es ha-teva, it lifted up the Teva. Excuse me, Vatarem me'al ha'aretz, it lifted it up over the earth. So the Teva was floating on this water, and the water covered the whole earth. So I remember hearing this vart last year. By Yisu es ha-teva, we could translate this according to the drash. Teva is also words. I just quoted a vart about Roshe Tevos. Okay? Mabel, Roshe Tevos, Mavas V'chaim B'yad Lashon. Teva is also a word. Roshe Tevos means the first letter of each word. So teva means word. So I remember this vart from last year. By Yisu es ha-teva, when you lift up your words, Vatara me'al ha'aretz, you have the koach to lift people up from upon the earth. Earth represents gashmius and drudgery and the difficulties of this earth. And shemayim represents gashmius and a sense of elevation, ruchnius and a sense of elevation. So when you use your words properly, you have the koach to lift yourself up and to lift others up. Again, by yisu es ha'teva, teva means word. When you lift up, when they lifted up their word, vatara me'al ha'aretz, you have the koach to lift people up from upon the earth. But then I was looking at the beginning of the pasuk, and I think you could interpret this whole pasuk according to this drashic method. Vayihi ha-mabel arba miyam al ha'aretz. So mabel, we now know, is an acronym for mavas v'chayim b'yad lashon, an allusion to koach ha-dibur. Vayihi ha-mabel, so through the koach ha-dibur arba miyam al ha'aretz, it took 40 days. 40 days is a time in Torah and Chazal for a new creation. Okay, Moshe was on Shemayim for 40 days and 40 nights. They went from a people who didn't have Torah to a people who had Torah. 40 days before the creation of the Vlad, a bas kol come out and says ploni to ploni, bas ploni to ploni. There's 40 seah of Mayim in a mikvah, because 40 is a number that shows new life. The Jews wandered in the desert for 40 years because they went from slaves to free people in 40 years. So 40 is a very significant number. There are many other examples that if you think of one, you could offer it to us. There's many other examples. I just gave you a few. 40 is a number that represents a new creation, an entirely new existence, a new being. 40 days before the creation of the Vlad, Klal Yisrael in 40 years were a different people. Okay, 40 seah, a goy goes into the mikvah, he converts. After the process of Moshe, comes out a Jew. What happened? He's a totally new person. 40 represents a totally new being. So, Vayihi Hamambo, you have to learn a lesson from the Koach of Dibur, that you could create a totally new being. And in this case, we have to use our Koach of Dibur for positive. Mavis V'chaim B'yad Lashon, Arba Miyam Al Ha'aretz, to know that you can make a totally new creation with the power of speech. You could take a healthy person and break them, Rechman Al Tzan, or you could take a broken person and fix them. Vayirbu Hamayim, and what you should learn from here is that when you have a lot of Torah, when you're marba b'Torah, in my Torah v'odazer fa'ibi, vayirbu hamayim, when water, when Torah is increased, then vayisu esateva, if you increase a life of Torah, living and Torah learning, certainly your words will be lifted up, vatara me'al ha'aretz, and you will lift yourself and everyone around you up from the earth. So three insights into Parshas Noach. One drop of water is very significant, just like one aspect of stealing is very significant, just like one statement and one word and one WhatsApp and one post is very significant. Two, the dimensions of the Teva. Three, 7:17, Vayihi Haman Be'al Ha'aretz Arba'im Yom. If you consider the power of words, 40 days is the time it takes to make a new creation. Vayirbu hamayim. And if you invest in a life of increasing Torah learning, then vayisu es hateva, it will lift, if you lift up your words, vatara me'al ha'aretz, you will lift yourself and up others up from, you will lift yourself and others up from the earth. Okay, beautiful. So it just goes to show you how many layers and levels there are to every pshat in Torah, to every pasuk, and mamash kim chayinu v'arach aminu, like everything is in Torah. It's just incredible. Okay, so we are in Perek Yud Dalet of the Sefer, Baruch Shechiyanu v'ki Manu v'genu this manazeh. If you don't have the Sefer, don't panic. I'm going to read it. I'm going to translate it. Just for your reference, we're learning Chavetz Chaim Kuntros, or less, Shmira. Okay. Perek Yud Dalet. Pratim halachos v'hanhagos. So this is the details and the halachos and the hanhagos. The halachos, the law, and hanhagos is like from the word minhag, practices. Be'inyan asar dvarim. So there are 10 different matters of speech. And now we get to the halachic aspects of understanding. So we have onas dvarim, we have gaiva, we have habanas panim. He's going to be speaking about, we're going to start with onas dvarim. We have leitzanos, we have kas, mechokas, hanufa. However, now we're coming to the details. So the Chavetz Chaim says, "Hinei ad ko, until now, dibarnu beinyan ha'asar dvarim b'darach kal." We have been talking about these 10 matters in a general fashion. Va'ata, but now with an ayin, niva'er halachos pratios. So now we're going to give some specific halachos in regard to each of these sections or areas shashayachos leinyanim heim, that have shayachos to these matters. V'niva'er mechad achad. We're going to go through them one at a time. And we're going to learn the halachos that have shayichus to these 10 different aspects of speech. He starts with ona'as dvarim, verbal oppression. Okay. So I'm going to quote an insight. That was from Noach, from Parshas Lech Lecha. That's this week's parsha. Okay, very, very powerful, troubling Ramban that has a lot of Mr. Haskell. Okay. So, Lech Lecha is very famous for a lot of things, a lot of happenings in the life of Avraham Avinu. Lech Lecha got Eretz Canaan has a famine, go to Egypt, Sarah is taken, Lot and him become very wealthy, they have to split ways, there was a quarrel, Lot chooses Sodom, which leads to trouble in chapter 14, when Lot's captured in battle, Avraham Avinu, the discoverer of God, has to go to war, Perek Tezvav, Brisbane and Besarim. Yud Zayin is Brismila. What happens in Perek Tes Zayin? Chapter 16. Visare Eishos Avram lo yaladolo. Sarai, the wife of Avram, did not have children to him. Because in Perek Yud Zayin, he gets a Brismila and a name change, and then in Perek Yeches, he's told he and his wife will have a child. And she had a Shivcha Mitzris Ushmo Hagar. So Sarai did not have a child to Avram, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar, Vatomer Sarai el Avram, and Sarai said to Avram, Hinei na'atzarani Hashem ilad, thus behold, God has held me back from giving birth, Bana al Shivchasi, come to my Shivcha, Ulai ibana mimene, perhaps I will build through her, Vayishkna Avram l'kol Sarai, and Rashi says, so beautifully, the Ruach HaKodesh Abba. Avram listened to the voice of his wife, Rashi says to the Ruach HaKodesh, the divine inspiration that she had, at the end of 10 years of living in the land of Canaan, Sarai took her shivcha, and she gave Hagar to Avram. He comes to, in a biblical sense, Hagar, and she conceives. She sees that she conceives immediately. And Sarai is cheapened in her eyes. You've been with him all these years and you can't have a child, and I'm with him one night and I'm pregnant already. Vatomer Sarai el Avram, and Sarai says to Avram, Chamasi alecha, my wrath is upon you. Anochi nasati shivchasi b'chekecha, I gave my shivcha in your lap. Vateri ki harasa, she saw that she conceived. Va'eka beinah, I'm cheapened in her eyes. Yishpor Hashem beinu uveinecha, let God judge between me and between you. Chazal say this is one of the reasons that she died before Avram, because she said that God judge. In Chayisara, she dies Perichov Gimel, and Avram dies in Perichov Hey. She said that God judge between me and between you. Vayomer Avram el Sarai, Hinei Shivchasech Biadech, Asila To Beinayich, Vate'aneha Sarai, Vativrach Mipana. Avram says, here she is, do whatever you see is fit. Vate'aneha Sarai, Sarah afflicted her, Vativrach Mipana, she runs away. Inui is one of the Va'avadum v'inu oisam arba me'o shana. Oh, that's also in this parsha. It's in Perak Tesvav by the Brisbane Psar. Hashem says, Yodoa teida ki geri yazaracha beretz lohem va'avadum v'inu oisam arba me'o shana. I'm going to say it at the Pesach HaGadol, but it's from this week's parsha by the Brisbane Psar. Bless you. Chapter 15. Va'avadum v'inui osam. They will oppress us. They will work us. I'm reading a fascinating Holocaust book now. Wow, the dressmakers of Auschwitz. It's new. I think it's new. It's very, 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 very interesting. It's a nonfiction. If you're interested in a book recommendation, the dressmakers of Auschwitz. Va'avadum v'inu osam arba me'o shana. The Egyptians will work us, and they will afflict us and oppress us for 400 years. So this idea of inui is oppression. So Avram says to Sarai, here is your shefcha, do whatever you want. Sarai afflicted her. Rashi says, haisa mish'abedes ba bekoshi. She would make her work with harshness. Atifrach mi panea, Hagar runs away. A Malach of Hashem finds her by a spring of water, and the Malach talks to her. This is not Ishmael, this pregnancy. She loses this pregnancy. She's going to go back. So Hagar actually flees. One time she flees from the house of Avram and Sarai, and the next time she is sent away from Perachaf Aleph, from the house of Avraham and Sarah. Okay, so the Malach says, go back. Very perplexing, difficult. Ramban, I'm just quoting it to you. But it has Musar Haska. Wrong, sticky. One second. Here we go. Okay. So the Ramban says, it's a very short Ramban. It's to Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Vav. By the way, this comment of the Ramban is in tandem with his pshatim into the lives, at least, of Avram and Sarah, when he speaks about Avram going down to Egypt in the beginning of Perek Yud-Beis because of the famine, and he speaks about Sarah being taken. The Ramban does not hold back from identifying, I don't want to say criticizing, trying to say this carefully, but you could look up the Ramban yourself and see what he writes. From identifying possible sins, not my words, his, of the Avos. And it's a delicate topic, but it is important for us to remember that our Avos and Imahos were not Malachim. If they were Malachim, they would not be our Avos and our Imahos. Because then we would not be able to learn anything from them, because we're not Malachim. And if they were malachim, their lives would not teach us anything. The fact that we learn from them to be ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim, is because, yes, they were giants, and we are like ants. They reached to Shemayim, v'hine malachim elokim olim v'yardim ba, v'hine Hashem nitzav alav, and we're down here, on those tremendous Yeridus Hadoros. And we probably would not even be able to look at them because of the Kedusha that emanated from their faces, given the door that we live in. However, they were not Malachim. If they were Malachim, we would have nothing to learn from them. So that is my introduction to the Ramban, and you're welcome to look up the Ramban at the beginning of Perek Yud-Beis for yourself and see what he writes. Very strong words. No, not this one. This one's very short. When he talks about I'm going down to Egypt. Listen to this. I'm not putting it on the screen because it's so short. Chata Sara imenu b'inui hazeh. V'gam Avram b'hadicho la'asos kein. Now I'm going to put it on the screen. So you shouldn't think that I'm making something up. Chas v'shalom. Not that you think I'm making. Why would you think that? I don't know. Because it's hard to believe. How's everyone doing? How are we doing? Good? Baruch Hashem. I'm going to put you up here so you could see the Ramban, okay? Okay, oh wait, could you see that I'm embarrassed over here? Yeah, okay. Vayom Avram el Sarai, hine shivchasech biadech, asila tov beinayich, vata'ana Sarah, Vatifrach mipaneh. I'm not going to put Rashi on the screen. I quoted Rashi already. Ha'isa mishabedes ba'bekoshi. So the Ramban says, Vatenah sorry vatifrach mipaneh. Chate imenu b'inu yezeh. V'gam Avram banichu la'asos kein. It's hard to translate that, but that's what the Ramban writes. Our foremother sinned with this affliction or oppression of Hagar. And also Avram, because he allowed her to do this. V'shama Hashem el aniya. Hashem heard her affliction, meaning Hagar. V'nason lo ben shia para adam. La'ano sera avra v'sara b'chom minei ha'inui. It's not a prophetic Ramban? Do they not continue to afflict us? B'chom minei ha'inui? Chata imenu binu hezeh v'gam avram binu chala asos kein v'shama Hashem el aniya v'nason lo ben shia para adam la'ano sera avram v'sara b'chom minei ha'inui. Our foremother Sarah sinned with this affliction, this oppression of Hagar, and also Avram when he allowed her to do this, and Hashem heard her, meaning Hagar's affliction, and he gave her a son that would be a wild ass of a man to afflict the progeny of Avram and Sarah with all sorts of afflictions, oppressions, and tortures. It's a big Musar Haskalah. Whatever it says about Sarah and Avram, I cannot say because I'm not qualified or ra'ui to say anything further than the Ramban says. But I will say that we should take a strong Musar Haskalah from there. One primary method of afflicting another person is with koach hadibur. There's a saying, I won't remember what you said, but I'll remember how you made me feel. I won't remember what you said, but I'll always remember how you made me feel. And one primary way that we express pleasure or displeasure with somebody, or approval or disapproval, or like or dislike, is certainly through koach hadibur. It's undisputed. You can't dispute that. It's not possible. And we can only take a big Musar Haskalah. I can't say anything other than what the Ramban says. But we have to take a very strong Musar Haskalah from there, because like we learned in the first insight of Shir, Hashem punished them one drop of rain, one grape, one olive, one more. So it was a flood. And so Hashem punishes Mida Keneged Mida. He also rewards Mida Keneged Mida. So because of that Inui, she was given a para adam, Yada Bakal V'yad Kobo. And he continues, Rachmana Letzlan. Rachmana Letzlan means may the merciful one help us to afflict Am Yisrael B'chol Minei Ha'inui. And it's very difficult, but we need to try and consider not only the words we say, the tone in which we say them, the posts and jokes that we post on WhatsApp about other people, but also Ezehu Chacham Haro'as HaNolad, Tamid 32a, the outcome of those words and the, what's it called, the new skip rocks, the you know, there's one circle, and then there's a bigger circle, and then there's a bigger circle, and then there's a bigger circle. The aftershocks. Well, that's not what it's called when it comes to skipping rocks, but of our words. It doesn't just, in this case, the ripple effect, thank you. In this case, it doesn't just affect Avraham and Sarah, but it affects their doros, it seems, until the end of days, until Mashiach comes. Chata imenu b'inu hezeh v'gam avram b'inicho la'aso kein. So it's very, very powerful and very important. Again, more than the Ramban says, I can't say. But for us, it's a very, very, very weighty teaching and powerful, powerful, powerful Musar Haskalah. So now I'm going back to the Sefer. So we have learned that we're going to be starting with halachos of these 10 different topics. Onas dvarim. If you do have the Sefer, by the way, on page 170. Onas dvarim, verbal oppression. Girasinen bivava metzia. So we learn in Bava Metzia where the Gemara states, Kishem she'onam b'mikach u'mimkar, kach onab dvarim. Just like there is oppression when it comes to business, you know, you can financially, when it comes to selling and buying and purchasing and lending, you could oppress someone financially. So too the Gemara says there is verbal oppression, lo yomar lo. So one example, you might think it's not a big deal, you're window shopping and it's the sidewalk sale. So you decide to walk in the store. You have no intention of buying the item in the store, but it's the sidewalk sale and you walk into one of these stores on Central Jewish. And so you see a nice sweater and you're just interested to know the price because you just bought something similar. You're just interested. But so how much does this cost? Like you say in Israel, I'm not really planning to buy your sweater. So you have oppressed him and you have bothered him with free words. That's a literal translation of my own. Meaning you have no intention of buying this. So that's considered onas dvarim. Because first of all, you bothered him with wasted words. You made him perhaps look up the price. And more than anything, you got his hopes up that he's going to make a sale. You're not really buying it. So that's the halacha. It's also to do this. Remember, these are the pratim halachos vehanhagos. Im haya baal teshuva, what's another example of onas dvarim? If somebody was a chozer b'teshuva, lo yomer lo, he should not say them, zechor ma'asecha rishonim. This isn't a ger, this is a baal teshuva. Oh, remember when you used to eat McDonald's, now you only mahadrim and a mahadrim. And bedatz, remember when you ate a McDonald's? Im hu ben gerim, if he is a son of converts, lo yomer lo, don't say them zechar maasei vosecha. So in other words, if he was born from to gerim, so you can't say them, remember when you went to McDonald's, he never did. They say, oh, remember your grandfather? Remember, he was the pastor in the church. Shenemar v'ger lo tona v'lo techatzene, because the pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, Shemos chav beis beferish, it's a de'oraisa. So these halachos are not, you know, nice advice. They're mamash mitzvos medeoraisa, because the convert, you shall not oppress and you shall not harass. Who had din Yisrael? Sheyesh lo pagam mishpacha, and this is not only for a ger. This is also the law for someone for a ben Yisrael. Sheyesh lo pagam mishpacha. Maybe there's a stain in his family. Asur levazoso b'mayase avosav. It's asur to embarrass him with the deeds of his fathers. Your father's a ganef. I heard he's in white collar jail. How is it there? Do they have daf yomi? You can't see that. Does he get kosher food? It's not that person's fault. We have to be so sensitive. So here there are three different examples, or four, of what is halacha lamaisa onas dvarim. You're window shopping and you say, it doesn't mean you're rocking in Target, okay? And they couldn't care less and it's not their store and it has a price tag. You're allowed to pick up the pajamas and see the price. Then you could even take it to the cashier and say, you know what, I don't want it. You have to be careful not to make a chil Hashem. That's a different story. Don't go with 10 items to the register and Target when the person is not Jewish, the cashier, and say, I don't want these. And they think, oh, look at you, you know, Jew, you're just making me do more work. But you could pick up the price and you could price scan it and nobody cares. Or you can't go into a small store and you can't say, how much is this? And if someone's about teshuva, you can't say, oh, remember how you used to behave. And to a ger, who's a son of gerim, you can't say, oh, remember your grandfather? He was the church pastor. How was it then? And that's beferish, the mitzvah from the Torah. And it's also true of Yisrael. Sheyesh lo pagam mishpacha, asur levazoso b'mayseh vosav. You are not allowed to embarrass him, to demean him, to make a bizayon because of the deeds of his fathers. V'chol ze asur. This is all usher. Afilu beino lebein atmo, even if it's in private. Debirabim ika gam isur dehabanas panim. So you're not allowed to do it in private. It's just the two of you. I'm not embarrassing you in public. I'm just saying you're so from. I'm saying it's a compliment. You're so from that you only eat bedats. You don't rely on hetem mechira. You only eat rabbanu mahajan and Yerushalayim. Remember when you used to eat regular rabbanu? I heard it might not be kosher. And now you're chozer b'tshuva. I'm saying as a compliment. Wow, you're such a geshmak tzadik now. That's in private. It's usur. V'chol zeh usur. Afilu beino lebein atzmo. Dibirabim. But if you're in public, it's even worse. Why? Because now you're over on habanas panim. So now you have a different law that you're now over. And remember in the Tfil al Dibur, whew, we ask for siyata deshmaya, not to speak onas dvarim. It's one of the forbidden categories. And also, right after onas dvarim comes halbanas panim, which now is interesting because what you're learning is through onas dvarim, you can come to halbanas panim. So if you say it in private, it's asr, and if you say it in public, it's even worse because now you just embarrass someone in public. And we know kol malbim pnei chaver barabim einu chelak olam haba. Someone who is malbim pnei chaver barabim is going to be in very big trouble in the end of days. So rechman al tzan, Hashem should save us from ourselves, not to embarrass others. And we know mutu lo adam sheyapil atzmo lekiv shana eish al yalbim pnei chaver barabim. It's a different parasha in Bereishis, paraklamet chas. Vayeshev Yehuda and Tamar, she was not prepared to say, you know, you're ready to throw me into the fire. You got me pregnant. Why did you say, I'm not saying anything? I'll send you the cape and the signet and the staff. You want to say it's mine? Fine. You don't want to say it's mine? Fine. Then I'd rather lose my life. Isa b'gemara, and the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbana, and the rabbis darshan, lo sonu ish es amiso. So that's in Parshas Baharim Vayikra. A man cannot oppress his friend, but onas dvarim hakasa medaber. So when the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Perichav Hei, Pasuk Yud Zayin, lo sonu ish es amiso, a man should not oppress his fellow, but onas dvarim hakasa medaber. The Gemara says in Bava Metzion and Ches, Beferish, you're talking about verbal oppression. Ata omer bonas dvarim o enu el bonas mamon. So you say it's regard to verbal oppression, you might want to argue, maybe this is talking about financial oppression. That's, by the way, that's also asar. So the Gemara says, Kishuhu Omer, when the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Chav Hei Yudal, three Pasukim earlier, V'chitim Kru Mimkar L'Amisecha, Kana Miyar Amisecha, Hare Onas Mamon Amar. No, we're not talking about Onas Mamon in Vayikra Chav Hei Yud Zayin, because we spoke about Onas Mamon three Pasukim before. When it comes to financial transactions, you for sure can't oppress them. That's also asar. You can't take financial advantage of a fellow who you're involved in a business transaction with. So therefore, says the Gemara, ha, ma ani mekayim, lo sonu isha samiso. So what do I mean? What does the Torah add when it says a man may not oppress his fellow? By the way, amiso doesn't say chaveiro, it doesn't say re'o, it says amiso, ayin mem. You have to see yourself as part of Am Yisrael. And we know that Am Yisrael is called ayin mem because Im Yisrael. If you want to be part of the nation of Israel, you have to see yourself as with Ayin Mem, put a chirik onto the Ayin with Israel. So when you see yourself, you want to press, so you should never be oppressing your fellow. But Ona Estvarim, we're talking about Ona Estvarim. So we will continue next time, Be'ezrat Hashem, which is in 2 weeks, but a lot of food for thought. From Parshas Noach, from Parshas Lech Lecha, and these halachos from the Chavetz Chaim in regard to Ona Estvarim, halavai, for Michal Haaretz, I don't know for you, the Ribbono Shel Olam should help me. And grant me the siyata deshmaya to implement these teachings into our everyday life. I wish everyone a wonderful day, a day of besoros tovos, and a day of siyata deshmaya, and may the lashon 300, 350 in the order of lashon save us from the mabul, because mavas v'chayim b'yad. And the pasuk. Thank you so much, everybody. I wish you all day besuros tovos. Kol tov ta'al. Thank you.